Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Remember, we've come to the section of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul is talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and how important it is to have a proper understanding of the church. And he deals, first of all, with the nature of the church in verse 16, and secondly, with the value of the church in verse 17. And then he's going to talk a little bit about wisdom in verses 18 through 20, which is all tied together with their misunderstanding of the church. And then he's going to come back in the end of the chapter, verses 20 through 23, to talk about understanding God's purposes for the church. But for now, the nature of the church, and we looked at this on the broadcast yesterday, but just to review, the church is God's temple. It is a local entity, not exclusively. It is also a universal body, but the one Paul's talking about here is a local entity, the Church of God at Corinth. But it, that local church in its local entity, is in fact God's dwelling place. The Spirit of God dwells in you, plural. And this is a basic doctrine that everybody should know. Don't you know this? It's a rebuke. If you don't know this, you don't understand this, you don't operate in light of this truth, then there's something missing in your understanding and practice. You ought to know this. That's what he says. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you all, members of the church in Corinth, you all are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? Please understand that. But now he's going to go on and talk about the value of the church in verse 17, and that's where we are going on this Friday, June 18. Thank you for gathering with us around this radio dial, and thank you for supporting us with the cost, the finances necessary to maintain the cost of the broadcast on this station. So he goes on from verse 16. Verse 16 says, do you not know that you all are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? And then this, in verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, this is pretty strong language, but it's important that we understand it. It's God's Word. And so, where is the value, the high value of the church seen in verse 17? Well, it is manifested by God's judgment, and it's manifested by its holiness. This indicates the value of the church. First of all, this value is manifested by God's judgment. How much God protects the church, how much God loves the church, how much God promises to judge those who bring harm to the church. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. If someone defiles the temple of God, which we saw in verse 16, is the church of God, the local church. If anyone defiles, or the word could be translated destroyed, it's the same Greek word that is sometimes translated defile and sometimes destroy. And it's a word which means to mar or to damage. We know what it is to put a deep scratch in a piece of fine furniture. I've done that a time or two. It's always a real uh-oh. Oh, no. I did that on a nice conference table one time, and it was a deep scratch, and there really was no way to fix it. I tried to put stuff on it and rub over it and did what I could to repair it, and I minimized the damage somewhat, but the damage is still there, and it's very, very evident. I see it virtually every day. The only way to fix it would be to sand the surface and refinish the whole thing, because I have marred it. I've damaged it. And that's the language here. If anyone damages the temple of God, God will destroy him. Now, the question is, what kind of destruction are we talking about? Are we talking about eternal? Or are we talking about temporal? Or are we talking about both? And the truth of the matter is, we're not told. So we're going to have to leave that question unanswered from the Bible, except to realize that this is a sober warning. It is a very serious matter. If anyone damages the temple of God, God will destroy him. Will he severely chasten him here in this life, a temporal judgment? Are we talking about eternal destruction in the lake of fire? Is that what's in view here? Again, we do not know, but we do know that this is a very serious matter. If anyone destroys or mars or damages the temple of God, that is, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will severely judge him. When we get to chapter 5 of this epistle, we're going to get to Paul's scathing rebuke of the church for not dealing with their church member who was living in open immorality. And Paul said, get him out of the church. I've already judged him, an apostolic authority that none of us have today. He said, I've already delivered him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. Now, we generally look at that as being a judgment upon this man because of his unrepentant sin, and indeed it is, but it occurs to me that in the light of what is said here, that we should also understand this judgment to be God's severe judgment upon him because of the damage he's brought to the church, the damage he's brought to the temple of the living God in its local expression. And that's exactly what he says here. If anyone damages the temple of God, God will destroy him. Now, lest you think that's too harsh, and you shouldn't if you're a student of God's word, but I can come back and tell you that when we come to 2 Corinthians, we have evidence that this man did repent. After he didn't initially, he went on in his sin for a long time, but eventually he repented. And Paul had to write the church and say, he's now repented, take him back in. You see, he had not sinned beyond the point of forgiveness if he would acknowledge his sin, if he would repent, if he would repent before God and before the church that he had harmed. And evidently he had done that. And they were reluctant to take him back. They didn't know whether they should, I guess. I don't know. They didn't understand everything they should have understood. But Paul says, no, take him back. Don't let him be consumed by overmuch sorrow. He has repented. He's acknowledged his sin. He's asked to be forgiven. He's asked God to forgive him. He's asked the church to forgive him. Of course you will forgive him. So what I want you to understand is that the serious sin, the scandalous sin, which was such a reproach to the church because it was something, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, that even unbelievers don't tolerate, something that unbelievers agree ought not to be done. These are unbelievers who have no difficulty committing adultery, committing fornication, having liaisons with temple prostitutes as a matter of their own religion, but when it comes to incest, they draw the line. And here was somebody in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ who is living with apparently his stepmother, his father's wife, and would not acknowledge it, would not repent of it, would not correct it until Paul came along with his severe penalty, his scathing judgment. And then when the church did what it was supposed to do, which was to confront him and deal with him if he would not repent and put him out of the church, then he repented. Wonderful. That's the goal of church discipline every time. You don't want to have to do it at all, but when you have to do it in order to be true to Scripture, then what you desire is that that judgment will be used of God to bring repentance and restoration. That's always the goal, restoration. But for unrepentant sin that is damaging to the church of the living God, there are some sins that are more serious than others. Sometimes people raise that question. Are all sins alike, or are some sins more serious than others? The answer to that question is some sins are more serious than others. Some sins have a greater penalty than others. Now, Paul talks about that also in this epistle, and we'll get to it eventually, where he tells us that sexual sins are particularly grievous because they're not only sinning against God, but they also have a damaging effect upon the body, which is there, he talks about the body in terms of the temple of the Holy Spirit, that is individual Christians in whose body the Holy Spirit dwells, and you take that body and you join that body to, I think he uses the word prostitute, that's particularly damaged. That's a particularly heinous sin. More heinous, evidently, than lying or stealing, though those are bad as well. I mean, sin is sin. It is true, but some sins are more serious than others. And those sins which bring damage to the church, which can come about, the damage can occur in several ways. Sometimes it's damage because of a seriously marred testimony in the community. Sometimes it's damage to the church because of the effect it has on other members of the church, of weakening the church and encouraging other members of the church to sin and so forth. There are a lot of different ways to damage the church, but sins that damage the church are especially heinous sins in the eyes of God. That's what he's saying here. If anyone damages the temple of God, God will destroy him. This tells us that God takes the church very seriously. That's the point. That's the point. This is God's view of the importance of the local church. Again, back to verse 16, do you not know that you all are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's serious business, to sin in such a way that you do damage not only to yourself, not only to your family, not only to your home, not only to your own life, not only to your own personal relationship with the Lord, but damage to the church, the temple of God. That's serious. God will judge. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.